I always say like, I love you. And he'll always be like, I love you 3000. And the 3000 is a reference to Tony Stark or something, but the 3 comes from Shakespeare. Like if I tell you once, I tell you twice, I tell you thrice, know that I mean it. That is, I think, a perfect encapsulation of how he processes the world, right? The 3 times is from Shakespeare, but the 3000 is from Tony Stark. Sparks was a big part of exposing me to things that I wouldn't have been exposed to at that age. Like between the ages of 8 to 12, totally opened up the universe for me in the realm of fictional storytelling. I was pretty much into superheroes, like most children between the ages of 5 and 10 when they're getting into comic books. But I think it all started with a love of story and imagery and language. And my friendship with Sparks was a key part of that. I think he informed my storytelling more than any single person. And not in this deliberate way, right? It's obviously very natural and unconscious, although he's very intelligent and thoughtful. But it's just sort of his gift to the world is his way of seeing and speaking. Yeah, it is interesting. He likes to call me his godson. There was never a time when he would have been able to take over my material needs, which is how I thought of a godfather in its materialistic sense, like if your parents die or something. But spiritually, emotionally, he was a constant presence in my life for most of my childhood and adolescence. I mean, I don't know if anybody else thinks it's cool, but I think it's really cool. I think it's a really cool and precious story. It's one of the things I treasure most in this life. It's such a strange thing that happened and could happen. This 8-year-old boy meeting this late 30s, early 40s Black man who was always on the margins of society, always like the mayor of wherever he went. In 2019, the thing is, this has happened multiple times where I would find Sparks or he would find me, like somebody who had mentioned somebody about his godson, and they would call me. We would get his ID in place and his social security payments back in place. And then he, you know, was mugged again or something and he lost the ID or some other huge setback. In 2019, this was the second or third time that I'd lost touch with him. And it was the dead of winter and I was very concerned about him. And he had mentioned that he'd been sleeping in a baseball dugout. So I went to my friend Stevens to spend the night. And I arrived at Steven's place at 2 a.m. and he had forgotten to leave the door unlocked for me. And I didn't want to wake him up. And then I thought, well, I'm hungry. So I went down to some bar in the rail yard area and I ate there. And then I was driving and there's a park there. And I remembered he had mentioned this park. And I was like, is that the park? And so I parked. There's like a part of a train there in that park. It's pitch black. There's no lights there. And so he mentioned the baseball dugout. I didn't say a baseball dugout. But I see this football field or soccer field, and I walk out and I see a body lying there, and I go and I turn on my light, and I was like, Sparks, and it was not Sparks. And I was like, sorry, you know. And then I went and found another guy, and he was also not Sparks. Then I was walking, and I just felt like it was kind of hopeless. But I did see a baseball dugout. It was hard to see anything. It was so dark. I was using the light of my iPhone. And so I see the baseball dugout, and then I walk over, and I see a body sitting upright with sunglasses on. And it's very, very cold, so cold. And he's dressed appropriately as one can be. And I say, Sparks? He says, yes, this deep, honeyed baritone. And I was like, you don't sound surprised to hear from me. Like, it's 2 a.m. and we haven't spoken in 4 months. Like, you don't seem at all surprised. And he was like, well, in his rich voice, he's like, I was dreaming. And I was riding Bubba, his deceased terrier, whatever dog, like Falcor from The Neverending Story. And it was very bright because of the two moons of the never-ending world. And when we landed, you know, Bubba turns to his tiny-sized dog self. So he's urging him on towards me. And he sees me in his dream in the distance. And as he heard me say Sparks in his dream, he heard me in this world.
Thank you for listening to episode 42 of Bite-Sized Blessings. I hope you've enjoyed listening to these companion episodes, episode 41 and episode 42, and the stories from both Sparks and Samah. I hope you've enjoyed these episodes as much as I've enjoyed producing them. I'm so grateful they shared the story of their friendship with me, of how they met, the trials and tribulations they've seen, and how their friendship has withstood and still stands firm. Thanks to Samah for his stories for episode 42, and thanks also to the creators of the music used: Frank Schroeder, Lilo Sound, Alexander Nakarada, Chilled Music, and Winnie the Moog. For complete attribution, please see the Bite-Sized Blessings website at bitesizedblessings.com. On the website, you'll find links to other episodes, changemakers, books, and music I think will lift and inspire you. Thank you for listening, and here's my one request. Be like Samah. Cherish your friendships. Cherish those you love. And don't forget to tell them every day.